Welcome to episode 137 of Inside the Cage, MMA podcast, the best podcast ever created. How are you, Mark?
World. I'm good, man. How are you?
All right, my man. Same old. Same old. Countdown to London.
Yeah, man. We're counting. Well, we'll talk about this later on, but London could be interesting, though.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Nothing's been said yet, so we'll need to hold off and wait and see.
Yeah, definitely. How's your weekend? Good? You had a night away last night as well, didn't you?
It's all right, aye. It's quite good. It was a weekend out, almost like, not old-fashioned hotel, but just like kind of tartany, like, armchairs and stuff like that. That kind of, you know, that kind of old classic.
Well, you're in the Highlands.
Aye, it was good, man. It was good. I mean, it is technically the Highlands, I suppose, the classic.
Aye, it's brilliant, so.
But it's not really, but the class it is. But yeah, it was good. It was nice enough. Food was all right. Had a wee dram and got a pint and stuff like that. So good. It was all good.
I'm glad to hear it, man. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. How was the rest of your day yesterday?
I was all right. Just not exciting, mate. That's literally the rest of my day after yesterday. So, gas bloody cold now, though. So, apologies if there's any sniffles and sneezes happen mid-show. I'll try and keep them at bay as best I can. Do my tits in.
You tested for the old COVID?
I'll do that tonight. I'm doing it after this show. I'm not babbling about it today or anything like that. So,
I
won't be because it's literally just a cold. It's literally a runny nose I've got, and it should drive me absolutely tits up.
You've not had it yet, have you?
Nope. Not that I know of, anyway. Not with symptoms. I may have been asymptomatic at some point and didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, so I've not had to kind of test every week or anything like that. So, I'll have to tell you at this moment in time if I've ever had it. So, anyway.
Good. Right, well, let's get on with it then. Usual format, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have a look back at the previous weekend. Then we'll look forward this weekend. And then we'll do some news, fight announcements at the end, if there's any. I don't really remember seeing that many, to be honest, but Mark will keep me right at the end. And yeah, that'll be it. So let's crack on with. Well, where do you want to start?
Well, there's probably only one question be posed coming from Saturday night, I would have thought.
No, I meant, do you want to start with Bellator or do you want to start with UFC?
No, UFC. You always start with UFC, mate.
I was just asking. Yeah, you just might want to change things up one day, do you know what I mean? You never know.
We'll get to Bellator. There's a wee cut of talking points there, but we'll go with the UFC.
So the one question, obviously, is, does Makhachev deserve a title shot? Is there an easy answer? Is it a yes or no? Is it just far too complicated? It shouldn't be complicated, but is it?
It seems to be, and I don't understand why. For me, no. I'm not saying that he's not good enough to deserve a title shot. If he made it next week or the next few weeks, that he probably wouldn't go on to win the title. I'm not saying that in any way, shape or form. But Benil Dariush is ahead of him in the rankings. Seven unbeaten himself. That fight has to happen. Oliveira and Gaethje aren't fighting to me anyway. It's nearly 3 months away.
I said this is exactly
fight for June. Make the fight for June and get the lightweight title in the belt and then go in September, October time.
You're literally repeating what I said last week. I said if Makhachev smashes Green in the first round and takes no damage, which is exactly what happened, then make the fight with Dariush as soon as Dariush is fit, and then the winner of that gets a title shot. So the answer to the question is no. I was looking at his record today, by the way, right? And he was very inactive. He's been signed with the UFC since, like, 2015. And he's... I mean, okay, he's fought, 12 times since then? Which, okay, when you say it like that, it's quite a lot. But that's over 7 years. Some guys have fought a lot more than that since then.
Some guys have fought that in 2 or 3 years, do you know what I mean?
I mean, Dan Hooker was ranked fine. Moises, I'm not sure if Moises was ranked when he fought him, but he might have been. Dober might have been, but these are guys at the bottom of the rankings. What has he done? Who has he fought? Like, these rankings are supposed to be there for a reason, right? They're supposed to be there for a reason, to give you a guide of how guys do and how guys should be fighting and stuff like that. Unless he fights a top 5 guy, which is what Dariush is, well, ish.
What Dan Hooker was at the time, but wasn't that? He was a top 5, top 6 guy.
Aye, but Dan Hooker was, you know what, lost two before or something like that. Oh, he lost two. Okay, beat Hackbarast, but he'd been beaten by Poirier and Chandler, I wouldn't have said beating Hooker was enough to get him a title shot either.
I think beating Hooker, no, I'm not going to say that. Beating Hooker put him into that title.
Aye.
Number one contenders fight. That's what beating Hooker did. Definitely, no doubt about that. I think Makhachev's problem is he's a bit of an issue regarding, like, the Torum was, I say, one of the best examples is Ryan Hall. That kind of fighter that just nobody wants to fight. Nobody's interested to fight, and you get offered Makhachev, as proved that Bobby Green had to step up and fight him on Saturday night. No one wants to fight Makhachev. Ryan Hall's the exact same situation. Two fighters, very similar. So inactive because nobody wants to fight them. You can't really force people to fight somebody else. You should be able to.
Yeah, well, I've
said
that before.
In a slightly easy way as such, but there should definitely be stipulations within contracts that you can maybe only reject so many fights before you've got to take the next fight you're getting offered, basically, type thing. So I totally lost my train of thought there, going on. But as I said, Makhachev, he hasn't been active very much over the last, but Dan Hooker is the biggest name on his thingy. Dan Hooker was a top six, top seven guy. That gets him at a number one contenders fight, and we still need to see that number one contenders fight. He'd done what he was supposed to do on Saturday night. He ran through Bobby Green. It was just ridiculous, to be honest, but it's what Makhachev does and what he does to most people that he fights. He's going to continue to do that, probably. Like, even if he does fight Darius, is his biggest challenge to date, without doubt, it will be his biggest challenge to date. Do I expect it to beat him?
Yes.
Probably, but it won't be easy. It's not going to be a, it's not going to be a Bobby Green. I mean, he's not just going to fly through him and it's going to be the end of that. It could go 3, 4 rounds, 5 rounds easy. And there will be times probably in the fight that Darius will maybe lock something up as a submission move that maybe Makhachev's got to get out. And he'll use his quality and he'll use his skill and his strength and he'll get out of any type of fight, type of things. But definitely we need that fight. That's the fight to make. I don't think there's another fight in the UFC that I want to see more than Darius versus Makhachev. That's
no, no. See, the argument again, I suppose, here would be like you said no because Darius is ahead of him, right? So let's say Gaethje pulls out, right? Breaks his leg in 18 places. Who gets the shot? Because Dariush's record for me isn't as good as Makhachev's. So if Makhachev doesn't deserve the title shot, then for me, Dariush doesn't either. But Dariush is ahead of him in the rankings. Now, we know the rankings are shit. We know that. But it gives you a guide. It gives you a rough idea of where guys are. You could easily swap Makhachev and Dariush and nobody would blink an eye, right? Okay, the win over Ferguson is a big win, but maybe not last year because Ferguson was on a downward slope. Same with Hooker. Hooker, you know, lost two of his last three against top five guys. Is it as good enough a win? Who would honestly, out of the two of them, would get that shot? It would have to be Makhachev.
It probably would be Makhachev. Well, for starters, Darius probably wouldn't be ready. But Makhachev, he's the one that's got the hype behind him. Darius is very... Makhachev's actually quite good in the mic and stuff like that as well, which is really good.
His English is good.
It's improving as well. It is getting better and he's quite good talking and stuff like that in the mic. And Darius is just very quiet. It's about his business. He's got a job done. If you've got to make a title fight and you need somebody to step in to fight a bit all there, that's probably going to be Makhachev because he's got that wee bit of chat as well. He's that damn good. Whereas Darius is just a bit quiet. And then how do you try to sell that? But as you say, all right, you beat Tony Ferguson, but it's a downward slope, Tony Ferguson. It's a one that's halfway down the mountain fighting Tony Ferguson at that point. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'd agree with you probably that if, say, something was to happen to Gaethje, then, yeah, Makhachev will probably get that fight in May.
Yeah.
And it's... it'll be interesting. I'm hoping that fight stays on. I don't want anything to happen to that because I want to see Oliveira Gaethje for starters. That's a sensational fight to make anyway, no matter what. That fight's got to be sensational.
Gaethje Oliveira.
Yeah, Gaethje Oliveira.
Yeah.
But we need to see Makhachev versus Darius. I know there's a lot of people wanting just Makhachev straight in there, but I don't see how. I don't see how you can possibly overlook Darius. He's beaten... If you look at their two of their records, they're not exactly beating many outstanding fighters, but you'd probably say that Darius is beating the better fighter.
And I honestly don't know, mate. I honestly don't know. I mean, he beat Moises and Dober. They both beat them, right? He's beaten Ferreira, who we know is a bit of a killer, right, which is fine. Holtzman, Dracar, close. I'm not sure they... Frank Camacho, I'm not sure they win stand-up that well, mate.
Well, let's be honest. The two outstanding wins on both guys. You've got Dan Hooker and Tony Ferguson. If you look at, all right, as I said, both, I'm not saying Dan Hooker's on his way down. That's the wrong way to look at it, because Dan Hooker's just probably not good enough to be better than a top five fighter. But yep. Tony Ferguson's the guy that's supposed to beat Khabib. Tony Ferguson's the guy that was supposed to be able to handle Khabib and deal with Khabib. That was what he was supposed to be. So that would tell me that straight away, beating even probably a downward Tony Ferguson is probably better than beating a Dan Hooker.
Yeah, maybe just, but I wouldn't say it was massive.
No, probably. No, I'm not saying it is, but I've just, even on name, then, even if you go on the name, man, beating Tony Ferguson, beating Dan Hooker, is it, Tony Ferguson was a guy who was at 14 unbeaten or something at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not at the time, but when he was, obviously, he beat Gaethje and Oliveira before that, but he'd one of the longest records in the whole of the UFC.
Yeah, he was crazy. He had some record. Well, I could, who, Dan Hooker? Oh, no, you mean
Ferguson?
Ferguson, I was going to say Dan Hooker, wasn't he? Yeah. No, I know he's like one of the longest. And I was say, the people say he's like, he never had a title shot. And like people say that's ridiculous because he should have had a title shot at some point. And I get that. I don't know, mate. I just don't know if it's. Either way, the answer to the question is no. Makhachev doesn't deserve a title shot.
Either guy probably deserves a title shot.
Yeah.
They've got to fight each other to deserve that title shot.
Yeah.
And that's the way it has to be, and that's the way it's got to be. And hopefully, around about June, July time, we'll get that. It'd be even better. Just for the banter, just stick on International Fight Week when McGregor will probably fight in International Fight Week, and him can be in the same building, and it'll just fucking make for a good laugh.
Yeah.
So yeah. I definitely got to see that fight again, man. We've got to make that fight. Sorry.
What about like Green after the fight, obviously saying he'd love to fight him again on a full camp? Is that just him just mouthing?
Oh, he's just saying these things, and it makes it sound better. You fucking railroaded.
I can guarantee you one thing: Islam Makhachev will never fight Bobby Green ever again.
No, without doubt. Even sounds stupid, but Makhachev fighting Bobby Green in a full camp would probably be even worse, because Makhachev was probably preparing himself for Dariush, which is a totally different animal, totally different fighting style, to then go, oh fuck, I'm fighting Bobby Green, now I've got to work on range. I think you've seen that straight away for the high kick they threw. There's no way he would have thrown that high kick straight away against Dariush, I'm sorry, not a chance.
No, I doubt it, but I mean, maybe Dariush isn't going to be able to defend that as good, and maybe it would have taken Dariush's head off. But I think he did it with Bobby Green to show Bobby Green that, listen, I'm not going to just try and wrestle, fuck you, and then did. It was class fight management from Makhachev, because he gave Bobby Green the kind of signal that it might not just be grappling. Thought maybe we'd get a wee bit of stand up, and then as soon as he got the chance, a slight sniff of a takedown, that was it. Game's a bogey, and you're not going to get up.
No, man, definitely not. It keeps you down. Once you're down, you're fucked, basically. So
that's something. Right, I mean, overall, this was, I don't know, decent.
Yeah, I don't know if it was because I was 5 or 6 pints in, but I actually quite enjoyed most of this card.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there was horrific blood. There was potentially a fight of the year candidate at this early stage. I mean, they were... The two lassies were absolutely class. Good submissions, good close fights as well, by all accounts. I guess we should probably talk about Kashwera and Kim, because they deserve it, because other than Makhachev, they were the biggest thing on this card, because that was 15 minutes of just amazing MMA. No matter what the level, no matter what the weight class, it was just superb.
Mate, it was tremendous. It was absolutely superb, mate. It was just an absolute war, to be honest. And it was brilliant to watch, and it was just really good to see. Fair play to both girls. They're so tough, man. Like, there's no doubt probably Kim was throwing more shots, but Kashwera was probably throwing them bigger, more powerful shots, and maybe doing more damage with that respect. And so depending on what you see, I think that's how it kind of... I think a lot of people had Kim winning the fight, but there's a lot of people had Kashwera winning the fight.
A lot of absolute utter pish.
I didn't have an issue with Kashwera winning the fight, so...
I did. Massively, mate. Massively. I just don't see how... Like, she won round one, no danger. Kim came in her own second round, won that. Great, won each thing, got into the thing. And then Kim pieced her up and just technically outboxed her and everything the whole way around it, through it around, and then at the end, towards the end, okay, Priscilla landed a couple of shots for the first 4 minutes, and then at the end, Kim seemed to tire a wee bit, and Kishwera smashed her up a wee bit, but I don't think, I genuinely believe, right, because she was throwing things like elbows, and she bust Kim up, that's why she won, and I just think that's wrong, mate. I'm all for violence, and I'm all for big shots, but I think if you're throwing big shots like that with a minute to go, you're trying to knock the person out, which is what you should be doing, because in my card, she'd lost the fight at that point, right? But she wins it on decision because of that. I know you sent me the rules, right? And you sent me the standards of referees and stuff like that, but I'm sorry, I just think that's pish. So I could get smashed up for 4 minutes. Well, not smashed up, but technically outboxed, a wee bit of bruising around the face, because Kishwera's face was fucked. But then you smashed me in the face 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 times in the last minute, burst my eye open, burst my nose open, and you win the fight because you've done more damage. Absolute utter garbage, mate. I'm sorry. I just do not. I just can't get that. I just can't. I really can't.
The way I would look at it is this. That's different. See, if you were to piece somebody up for 4 minutes, as you say, Kishwera's face was pretty much.
Yeah.
But that was more of a.
That was more of a 15 minutes thing.
That was more the full fight. I think, as you say, the first, second round, no issues with it. Probably third round is the one that's maybe contentious because, as you say, Kim did probably throw the more shots. These shots then caused more damage because of that. It was an accumulation of damage. Kishwera shots were probably more powerful, more dangerous shots. End of the day, this isn't like boxing. This isn't like a point sport. This isn't winning sports or fights.
It's not, I get that, but you pointed to me, like, basically the rules you sent me, the referee thing you sent me, basically said that the cumulative shouldn't be taken over the immediate. So basically that means if Kishwera, even if Kishwera throws 2 punches, one bursts Kim's face wide open like happened to Alvarez, and the second punch puts her on the ground, that automatically basically wins you a round. Unless, of course, Kim has done the same. But if Kim's just technically boxing, piecing up Kishwera, jab by jab, hook by hook, slowly, slowly. But if Kishwera smashes her, like she did in the last minute, she basically wins. I just think there's just something wrong with that for me, mate. And I understand, I get that's the rules and that's fine. And going by the rules, it looks like they caused the fight, called the fight, right? But for me, see, over 15 minutes, Kim absolutely smashed her. And if it was scored over 15 minutes, there is no way that Kim lost that fight. There's no way. And that's what annoys me. I think that's what annoys me most, mate. Because I think Kim is a very, very good technical MMA fighter. I thought she was superb the whole fight. She was calm. She was precise. It was like watching somebody, I'm not going to compare it to Max Holloway, but that's not what I mean. But I'm just saying that kind of precise boxing and that technical ability was just brilliant. And Kishwera wins it for being wild and erratic, and I don't know. It's weird because I would always say wild and erratic is always good to watch, and Kishwera is fun to watch, but she just didn't win the fight for me, mate, and I feel really bad for Kim.
Like I said, I can understand that. I said this to you, and you said it on the text. If Kim had won the fight, I wouldn't have had a massive issue.
Yeah.
Because I can understand why people think that Kim won the fight, but I can also see maybe the other person. Why Kishwera won the fight, because the damage that she probably did was the stronger, more powerful shots and the harder hitting shots and the fancier shots, whatever word you want to use.
That's it.
And they seem to obviously win fights sometimes over just tapping somebody, not tapping somebody in the face, but you know what I mean, just thinking. Like, for me, it wasn't a robbery, but it wasn't. No. Brilliant either. It's not the best decision, but it's not the worst decision I've ever seen.
No, it's definitely not the worst decision. I just think I feel bad for Kim because, mate, I genuinely thought she was superb. Thought first round she was a bit of a rabbit caught in the headlights. Priscilla Kishwera keeps coming and it's something difficult to deal with. But once Kim got her range and got settled in, I thought, honestly, mate, I thought that 10 minutes for Kim was some of the best flyweight MMA at, like, women's level I've seen in a long time. Honestly, I thought she was superb. And I think that's what's so gutting for me. It's so gutting for me that she lost that fight because Kishwera's just wild. It just doesn't sit well with me at all, mate. You know, I don't like things like that. It's a bit like, I can't remember what fight it was. There was a fight on this card. Aye, Turman. I mean, fuck me. Get absolutely smashed by Sukhinov. Absolutely smashed first round. Sukhinov takes him down, goes on top, and he pops his arm, and that's it. Game's a bogey. That shit fucking winds me up. But it is what it is. Me. Exactly, mate, exactly. It frustrates the life of me. The Kim thing was worse because Kim was so good. But, I mean, yeah, it's disappointing, but anyhow.
That's not the end of the world, man. Not the end of the world.
No, it's not. It's not. I guess we should probably talk about one of the Armins.
Mate, there was three or four guys. I know obviously the Patricio Arion Rodriguez fight went a split decision, but there was three or four guys in this card that I could easily go and see fighting for world titles at some point. And the two Armins are up there.
Are you that impressed with Petrus Arion?
I like Petrus Arion. I think he's very, very good. Don't get me wrong, I don't think this was his best performance, but I think there's a lot of quality there. I can see it. I can see the quality in his game. Well, no, he's got time. He's 31. I thought he was older than that. He looks older than that, to be fair. He's no aged well, I've got to say that about him.
Well, so does Rodriguez. Rodriguez looks about fucking 60.
He looks like a wee guy from Encanto who takes his wig off.
Aye. Fucking don't talk about Encanto, man.
I know, that's bad. I hear, mate, you got a wedding, that's what happens. You've got to watch all this shit. Armin Sarukian was fucking, I just thought, brilliant, mate. Honestly, I think that is just an unbelievable fighter. It really is.
I think the thing that impressed me most, right, is he was good, right, and his performance was good, but I think what really impressed me the most was the fact that Alvarez is a very tough puzzle at lightweight because of his size. He has everything. He is very long, he's very tall, he can grapple, he can strike. I mean, he's got some great wins on his card, you know. Yakalev, Joe Duffy, he beat Thiago Moises in the first round. Like, this boy Alvarez is absolutely legit.
Akachev can do that.
I know. His only loss in the UFC was to Ismagulov, right, way back in February 2019, and before that he lost way back in the day. Like, that's cool, we don't count that. So he's a legit contender, and Sarukian just fucked him up. And I think that was the thing. Like, Sarukian's quite short, so combating that range, 5.5 inches, mate, like, that doesn't seem like a lot, but it really is. Like, it's massive. Because
Joe Alvarez is 6'3", mate. 6'3". Missed weight a couple of times, which is obviously an issue as well. But, well, yeah. He made weight this weekend, probably the biggest fight of his career so far. He made weight for it. That's the main thing. But Sarukian came out there and just fucking put on a show in the end of the day, man. I couldn't believe in the end how easy is not the right word, because obviously it wasn't easy, but he made it look, what he did, look easy.
Yeah.
And he got the finish against Alvarez, and it was just sensational, mate. Honestly, it's just, again, he's somebody, he's got to get a ranked fight next for me. You've got to get him in there. Well, he's ranked as well. He's already ranked, sorry. So you've got to be pushing him forward. Obviously, Joe Alvarez is the guy looking for the ranking in there. So Rookie's got to be looking forward, man, and just looking at that top 10 and going, well, who's that? Who can I get? Fiziev's only two places ahead of him. He's fighting RDA this weekend, so...
I'd love to see Gamrot fight Sarukian. I think that'd be class.
That would be good. That would be a class fight. I would like to think both fighters are actually looking ahead of that, though.
But there's nothing there. The only thing there is Gillespie. Because Hooker's at 145. Ferguson's fighting... somebody. Chandler.
Probably.
RDA is fighting Fiziev. McGregor's, no. Dariush is obviously injured. They're not going to get Makachev. Poirier is talking about fighting Diaz and all that stuff. The only fight that's there is Gamrot, mate. That's the only fight there.
That's probably the fight to make them. Yeah, it makes sense when you look at it from that point of view. I definitely. Get Gamrot versus Sarukian is definitely a fight to make.
Yeah. Did you think Petrus Arion won the fight? Just obviously because it was a split decision. I just wondered what your thoughts were.
I thought he won the fight, don't get me wrong. It was a close fight, no matter that for a second. I gave him the first two, I think, and then that was pretty much it, I think. I thought Rodriguez won the third, I think.
Yeah.
I
don't have an issue with it. As I say, it was close anyway. Either way, it wouldn't really have, I don't think I would really have been that fussed either way. But just because it was a split, you know, splits are always kind of one of these odd things to talk about. But
I gave him the first two. I think he definitely slowed down in the third against Rodriguez. Fair play to Rodriguez to coming back and winning that round. But I think I probably had Petrus Arion winning the fight.
Right, quick run through of the rest of it then. Let's do a quick, any special mentions. Who you got? Hit me first.
Bama Bajalandez, by the way.
A Brabo choke.
Yeah, what the actual fuck, man, honestly. I like Rongier. I know he's a wee bit all over the place. Obviously, he lost his first fight in the UFC, came back and beat Brendan Jenkins. But
he's maybe just not at that level, mate. I mean, I know he's got like 20 fights before he gets to the UFC, but they're all in WLF Wars, and it looks like it's all Chinese, so perhaps the level just isn't there.
possibly, mate. But maybe,
but he's just
maybe
a
it's just one of those ones that Bam Mondays is just a wee level above.
Yeah. He's just a baby, mate. And the fact that he's had, what, 23 fights since 2016, in 6 years, is crazy, mate. He's 21 That's, years old. It's
is that
just,
four fights a year, basically?
Yeah. I think he should... I think he needs to just... I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is with him. It's not. It's not as if he's over, right? Losing to Bam Mondays is no wrong thing, right? But just, I don't know, man. There's just something there. I think
he's 21. He's got years and years ahead of him. He's got 50 years, man. My wife could go and see him fucking fight at some point. That's how many years he's got ahead of him.
I think he could slow down a bit. I think what I mean. That's my point. I think he could slow down. I think he could go and. Even moved, I don't know if they moved to the States. I know some of the Chinese fighters are obviously quite stuck with it in China and they like to fight in China. But Hank, just take his time, man. Like, there's no rush. He doesn't need to fight three times, four times this year. Go away, work on some things, come back in October and then wait until the following year to fight again. Just slow down. There is no rush, man. Like, he could easily win a title if he slows down and gets some wins under his belt in the next 3-4 years. You know what I mean? When he's 26 at his prime. That's what you want to do. Maybe that's what it is, just learn the lessons. I mean, the fact that he's fighting somebody like Baja Mondes when he's 21 is crazy anyway, you know what I mean? But yeah,
that was tremendous. What else have we got? Tez McKinney as well, man. That was I thought I'm surprised it was such a quick finish. Honestly, I thought ZM would make him work for it, but
I was surprised by Farazim because Farazim was quite good, but because even though he lost to Don Madge, right, in that decision, I remember that
fight was
it was an amazing fight, mate. It was an amazing fight. Obviously beat Malarkey, and then he obviously Vendramini beat Vendramini as well. So he's had some good wins, but I don't know, mate. Maybe it was just something no there, because I honestly didn't see McKinney actually choking him out, which is mental. But
That's a mental finish as well. And probably Martinez was superb, and I thought Brahimi was brilliant as well. Michael Gilmore probably, isn't he?
I love watching Brahimi. I know his record isn't great, mate. He's been win loss in the UFC. In fact, he's been win loss since
2018. Aye, so
he's been win loss pretty much every fight since February. For the last 4 years, he's been win loss. But he's just good to watch, man.
He needs to go and back that one up with another one. He's a very good, as I say, he's a good fighter to watch, but he needs to go and back it up. He needs to go and back that one up with another one. So
it'll be interesting to see if his contract's up, because his contract might be four fights.
I think there's enough potential there. He's won two, lost two, to suggest that probably...
maybe give him another go.
Yeah, losing to Max Griffin isn't the worst defeat. Dr. Stoppage as well. So I can't even remember. I can't remember the fight. He probably must have had a bad cut or something like that, obviously. So... I think you'd imagine if that was the last, if it was her fourth fight contract, and maybe I'll get another contract after this, hopefully.
Yeah. Alrighty. Happy?
Delighted, mate. I just quite enjoyed the card because I wasn't sure I was going to beat it first, so.
Yeah. Alright, let's move on and we'll do a little bit on Bellator. Haven't seen an awful lot of it. So anything you want that you did see, I seen Magomed Sharipov basically just fuck the shit out of Jose Sanchez. I seen David Gayon beat Charlie Leary as well. It was pretty decent. It was a good finish. It was a fantastic 1-2, put Charlie down. Charlie was a bit aggrieved with the stoppage, but it was bang on for me. Said he has his hands up defending, but he wasn't. No.
Seen a couple on the prelim. I've seen Tokov and Sarikam. Maybe only two I've really seen. I did catch a wee bit of Johns and Gallen, but the time it was on later on, I was doing all the bits and pieces as well while I was trying to watch it. So Tokov and Sarikam, I really like the look of the two of them, to be honest, mate. I think they could be very, very good fighters within Bellator. And I was quite impressed with the two of them. Moving on to the main card, you said Magomed Sharipov was... Aye. I like him.
I just fucked him up, man.
Yeah, totally fucked him up, so that was good. Disappointed with the soldier injury and the shoulder injury in the Clarkton Cara fight, mate.
It was weird because I actually thought that Clark looked as if he was in a wee bit of trouble, to be honest.
I thought I probably would have turned Cara in my card, I think, for the first round, I think.
Yeah, I definitely did as well. But I didn't even see the
shoulder. Clark got lucky there, but
no.
Exactly.
There's perfect loads of opportunities for him still to do the business, mate. But Tunkara's range was a problem for him. He just kept getting pieced up with that jab. He just couldn't get past it. He might have found a way. Tunkara might have slowed down. But I'm gutted for Tunkara. I'm gutted for the fight because it could have been a class fight.
It would have been a great
fight. What about the luckiest woman in Dublin on Saturday night, Friday night?
I found this quite hard to score at times.
I felt as if like
Trey Cabot, I didn't see a 30-27. I think you've got to give something to Lee McCourt without doubt. Well, that's one or two rounds. I just found it a very, very difficult fight to score, as I said. I think, again, in one of those, once you gave it either fighter, I wouldn't have been fussed. But at the same time, I didn't think Lee McCourt was at her best. But I didn't.
No.
I mean,
totally. I don't think Kavanagh was at her best either, to be fair to you, mate.
I wouldn't disagree with that either, mate. But the fact that, by the sounds of things, Kavanagh is now going to get a fight against Cyborg for the title off the back of that just seems a bit.
What, again?
Aye. I'm making the second fight.
Jeez, it was only in November. Fuck that. See, this was the problem with Lee McCourt fighting Sinead Kavanagh, because basically it was to see who got a chance at Cyborg. So it's a bit gutting for Lee McCourt. I don't know, mate. I wasn't impressed by either of the fight. I didn't think it was a particularly good fight. I felt it was messy. Sinead Kavanagh got really lucky, the fact that she couldn't walk for two rounds. I just felt as if Lee McCourt, you know, I think it may have been the weight of them. I feel as if when Kavanagh got on top, Lee McCourt had nothing at all.
Kavanagh's very, very top heavy. She's very, very
she's bulky, stocky.
I think Lee does struggle a wee bit with that strength aspect of things. I think technically there's no doubt that Lee's a very good fighter. But I think she's not exactly the strongest featherweight in the world. She needs a wee bit more maybe muscle put on, a wee bit more strength muscle proper. Muscle that actually does something and can help her in that fight.
Yeah,
I think that's maybe where she was maybe lacking against Kavanagh, was just that wee bit of strength. But don't get me wrong, I thought she gave as good as she got. 29-20 either way, I wouldn't have been fussed with. I didn't see a 30-27. I thought that was a bit harsh from the court, as I said. But mate, it was a decent enough fight, a decent enough entertaining me fight. It was nothing outstanding, but it was pretty damn good, man. Enjoyed watching it anyway.
Well, when you talk about Big Gagar. Not that there's much to talk about.
No, well, I think more than the actual fight, we've got to talk about where Gegard Mousasi is as a middleweight in the grand scheme of MMA.
I was going to ask you a question, and it is a simple yes or no, but we can elaborate. Is there a 185 in Bellator that can do anything with him?
No, probably not. I don't think so. For me, he's probably pound for pound the best, arguably. In Bellator, I can't. You look at it, alright, they've actually got a wee pound for pound list themselves. McKee's at the top, Nenkov, Pitbull, Mousasi, that's when Amosov's are top five. For me, looking at it, and you look at the likes of the middleweights, there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there for Gegard Mousasi anymore. He's obviously fought Lima, welterweight champ came up. Once Amosov beats Michael Verum Page at London, is there much for Amosov there? And same with Nemkov. Nemkov goes and beats Corey Anderson. What is left in the light heavyweight division? I feel like there's fights there to be made for Gegard, but somebody needs to come up to fight him, or he needs to go and fight somebody else.
He stepped up to light heavy and fought.
Machida
came down to middleweight.
Machida
came down. Machida went down to middleweight. I did not know that. Fuck me. That's mental. I agree with Amosov. And by the way, I love Amosov, right? And Amosov is probably more than likely going to smash MBV, but I still think Mousasi beats Amosov.
I wouldn't overly disagree with that, if I'm honest, mate. It'd be a very interesting fight, put it that way. I think to give these kind of guys, I think this is a bit the problem with Bellator, is they've got some outstanding MMA fighters. They've got some guys who could probably hang with a lot of the top 10 in the UFC. But outside of the maybe top two, three max in each division, the quality isn't there. And then eventually it gets to the stage where these guys are looking about. Musashi must be looking about at this moment in time going, Musashi's not the kind of guy to come out and say things. And I seen a statement in Vesel saying, oh, I could hang with Whitaker, I could hang with Adesanya. I'm wondering if he's fucking looking for a wee... Maybe he's getting to that stage in his career where he's thinking, well, I've got to go... Maybe he's got to go and prove something for himself now. Maybe he's 36.
Thing is, he left the UFC because... Was it not because he never got a title shot when he felt he was deserved one? I mean, in the UFC, did he get beat in the UFC? He only get beat by Uriah Hall in the UFC, like, early on. Okay, he get beat by Jacare and Machida as well early on, but, like... Beating Thiago Santos, Belfort, Uriah, got the Uriah Hall win back. Beating Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman in 2017, you know, would have been champ material. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I think he was always a bit miffed that he never got the title shot that he was supposed to get.
Probably at the time when you look at it, aye, probably beating Chris Weidman, maybe was probably around about then, was probably his, that was his fight. That was probably... I think Musashi's a bit like Darius in that respect, as they're very quiet, they just go about their business and just get it fucking done. There's no messing, don't care, just get a job done, get fucking out of there. That's all that matters. I think Musashi is without doubt obviously the best middleweight in Bellator, there's no question about that. I don't see much coming through really anytime soon that's going to challenge him. He's either going to take that step up and go and fight maybe Nemkov beats Anderson, or look for Amosov to be MVP if that fight happens. We don't know what's going to happen with that kind of thing of things.
Yeah.
Amosov's going to have to step up and take Musashi on, because, again, the two of them need it. That's all that's left for the two of them, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Bellator's a weird one, man. I'm kind of hopefully they'll sort things out.
Were you a wee bit gutted for Austin? I was.
I think I was, but at the same time, I knew what I was watching was sensational, so at the same time, I didn't really think about it at that moment in time.
Yeah. I think it's just gotten for any guy who, you know, 11-0, young guy, you know, coming up, new face, and you come up against somebody that good, it has just gotten, mate, because you just, like, afterwards, you'll be watching that going, fuck me, man, like, I
can't. I know he obviously has beaten Edwards and stuff like that, who's top five, top six now. Could he have been a victim of the fact that the divisions aren't as steep
or light, yeah,
as they need to be, and he really needed another maybe three or four fights in there, to be honest. The team maybe need a John Salter fight type thing. I know obviously he'd beaten Edwards, but maybe needed a John Salter or a Lovato if Lovato was still about. Obviously Lovato had a lot of health issues, so he said to basically chuck it, but
yeah.
I think Vander Ford was maybe pushed too fast too quickly.
Yeah. Alrighty. Right, let's move on to this weekend. We'll do the Cage Warriors first, just kind of quickly.
Dangin, the best light heavyweight in the world.
Who?
The Ritter.
Oh, sorry, forgot about him. I never loaded the page, that's why. Yeah, sorry, last week we bigged up one championship. We paid close attention to Reinhard de Ridder. And for a good fucking reason. If you have not watched this, right, you are shocking, because one, it's on a Friday afternoon in the UK time, so you should be watching it. No reason why you can't work and watch at the same time. And two, oh my fucking God, this guy's an absolute savage. Like, a savage. Like, he literally mounted this guy for what was it, 12 minutes, 13 minutes, something like that?
Something like 14 minutes.
14 minutes, and then just eventually it just was like, game's a bogey, man, that was it. It was just beautiful.
I know I made that joke before, because he'd obviously denied it, that he's the best. Well, obviously, he's middleweight in one championship, but the actual weight is light heavyweight for every other organisation on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see him in the UFC, mate. We've got to make this happen. The guy is fucking sensational. The guy is unbelievable. What a fighter this guy is. He's obviously won... the equivalent of the mid, he's obviously got the middleweight belt, or the equivalent of light heavyweight. He's got the light heavyweight belt, which is obviously a 225 kind of in between. But I've got to see this guy, he's wanting to challenge a heavyweight champion. That's the kind of guy we want to see, man. This guy wants three belts when he's with. I love him. Get him in the UFC. Get it sorted, man. I'm telling you, it needs to happen.
I know you probably don't know who Galvao is, but Galvao's Andre Galvao is basically a world-class jiu-jitsu, like probably one of the scariest guys in the world, Andre Galvao. If you don't know who he is, Google him. And the Ridders basically called him out and said, right, seeing as I grapple fucked him, I'm gonna grapple fuck you. And yeah, he's quite scary. But yeah, I think fighting anybody, like, he's just terrifying to watch, honestly. He's
just sensational, mate. It's just a sensational man, that's no matter where you look at.
He's something else, honestly. Like, if you can't, honestly, go and see if you can find Reiner the Ridder from the weekend, one championship. It was a thing of beauty. He's just absolutely savage. They need to
somehow make that trade. Obviously, they've done a trade with DJ back in the day, and obviously Ben Askren came the other way. Obviously, that fell flat in his face for the UFC, but this is something that will not fall flat in his face. This guy is a fucking legit real deal, mate. This is a guy you could be on and be your light heavyweight championship, do you know what I mean? So,
there's a role. I made a mistake last week and said I thought he had a background in kickboxing. I know he doesn't, but he's Dutch, so he will.
Like, something there. I mean, that's what they've done all their days. That's their main. That's one of their biggest sports, kickboxing. So
grappling's like not really a Dutch thing. You would associate a Dutch with. So he will 100% have.
He's a couple of knockouts with knees and stuff. And do you know what I mean, so you can see that definitely he's got that in his game. So, mate, sensational. What a fighter. And Dana, make it happen, man. Get him in the UFC, because I like to see him fuck shit up.
Yeah, so they are.
I really
absolutely. Right, sorry about that. Just totally skipping over the top of that. My bad.
You should be.
Cage Warriors this weekend. I know we don't talk about it a lot. They don't do a lot of shows, but they do a few every couple of months. Is this the third US card?
Third or fourth? I can't remember exactly.
The fourth. So there isn't much. We don't know much about... The thing is, with us, almost like a regional level. There's a lot of you guys we don't heard of. Wilson Reese, heard of him. I'm sure he once fought for that title. I could be wrong. I'm sure he once fought DJ.
Yeah, he fought DJ back in 2017 for the title.
Yes, he did. And he also fought Cejudo. Not for the title, but he fought Cejudo afterwards. So Wilson Reese will be a bit of talent there, obviously. Maybe not great talent for the UFC, but good talent for that level. And Max Roshkoff, he's the boy that basically chucked it. He's like at UFC, didn't he?
He's fought a couple of times in this already, isn't he?
This is his third. His third Cage Warriors card.
It's good to see him rebuild his career, considering how badly that Austin Hubbard fight ended in the UFC or his debut and stuff like that. So I'm glad to see him rebuilding his career, and hopefully he just keeps fucking his way up, because he's clearly a decent fighter. So,
do you mind the guy who get absolutely pieced up for 15 minutes, right? And his dad was in his corner, and there was all this outrage because basically they should have thrown in the towel because he got absolutely destroyed in the UFC. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, aye.
Remember his name?
No.
I don't know why that popped into my head. I wanted to look and see if he ever fought again.
I think it's a very similar scenario, isn't it? Maybe need to look.
Anyway, so that just popped in my head. I just wanted to look and see if I want to see if I can find that guy, because I think he got absolutely smashed up. I thought his name was Austin, but it's not. Maybe not.
I mean, that looks like a top fight. Joshua Jones versus Kyle Driscoll could be recent. Joshua Jones has fought in Bellator, a couple of wins under his belt as well. Kyle Driscoll won his Dana White Contender Series fight, and he didn't actually get signed at the time. So, that should be a decent wee fight if you get a chance to watch. Obviously, it'll be only stupid I caught them on them probably, because it is in fucking San Diego. So
yeah, it'll be ridiculous. So if you get a chance, it's free on the Fight Pass. If you've got Fight Pass, you're in the States, catch it, because Cage Wars is always good. It's always well put together as well. The poster is absolutely class, by the way.
It's lovely. It's a nice wee poster, huh?
It's good, man. It does, man. San Diego will be class. Listen, we'll maybe plan that for later in life. Anyway, let's move on, because we've been rattling for a long time now. The big one this weekend, the grudge match. I always have a bit skeptical of pay-per-views that don't have a title fight, but this is...
I don't give a shiny shit, to be honest. I think this is that big a grudge match, that big a fight. There's got to be that much talk, shite, chat, action, everything. I think the actual build-up to the fight is going to be more exciting than the fight, personally, but...
I had a question for you, right? Do you think, right, whatever way this goes, right, do you think they'll bury it after that? Do you think they'll bury the hatchet? Do you think they'll be pals again?
I really don't know. Because I think if they buried the hatchet, that would be an issue for Colby, because Colby's obviously Kobe's a character. Kobe is portraying this character and doing that type of thing after beating Masvidal and not just walking up to him and putting middle fingers in his face after fucking probably choking him out and just walking up, picking him up, shaking his hand and giving him a cuddle. That kind of makes that character slip a bit slightly, to be honest. So, yeah. I went to, if it, don't get me wrong, Masvidal probably not suit Kobe. I actually would have surprised me if Masvidal just went up and picked him up and shaked his hand or whatever like that. But if Kobe was to do it, I can't see it. I think that would let the mask slip. That would let that character kind of...
Yeah, like kayfabe or kayfabe, whatever they call it in wrestling.
Aye, yeah. Basically. So I can't see that happening. But look, this is a sensational... It's a sensational fight. I actually still expect Kobe to get your job done and just somehow take Masvidal down and just ragdoll in the end.
Quite, Kobe's going to ragdoll, man. Absolutely. It's one of these things. It's one of these fights, right? It's big to talk about, but see the actual fight. I don't think it is big to talk about because I think there's only one way it's going to go. I think Masvidal. I've said this before. Masvidal sold himself. Masvidal made himself this big marketable thing, right? He did. But in terms of being a good fighter, all round, he's not a great fighter. He's a good grappler. He's a good brawler. He's a good brawler. He's a good striker. But who'll say his boxing's good? But he doesn't have a boxing background. He's just a street fighter. You know, he's a brawler. But yeah, it's potentially going to be class. It almost seems kind of pointless though, because if Kobe wins, I guess the thing is with Kobe that people will talk about his fight Usman again, and it's like, well, no.
Well, I think this is one of these fights that I don't think the outcome of the fight affects anything.
Yeah.
Because neither fighter will fight Kamaru Usman next. Neither fighter. Doesn't matter where you look at it, neither fighter will fight Kamaru Usman probably in the next year, maybe 2 years. There's no doubt about it. This is literally just a grudge match, and I think that's what makes it so good. It gives them that wee bit of hype, and I'm fucking buzzing for it, and I'm buzzing for the stuff. And I hope we do an unfiltered for this weekend, because I think it'll be absolutely fucking tremendous to see on the YouTube page and stuff. I watched those a few times over the last few pay-per-views, and it's been fucking brilliant, and I hope we do it for this, because I can imagine the shite that's going to come out of the two of them fit their myths. It's got a bit of fucking sensational, because even the promo videos I've seen already, man, have been pretty fucking good. Do you know what I mean? So, I can't wait for it. As I said, I'm more looking forward to this week ahead than I am the fight, because I think Colby in the end probably won, will just fucking railroad him. I think he'll stand and bang with him. I think he'll try and fucking make it a bit of a fist fight at first, but I think Colby will just return the time, just go, fuck it, we'll take you down 45 times in one round, because he can do it with ease.
Yeah, with absolute ease.
So I can imagine that's the way this fight will go in the end.
Can we agree on something though?
What?
That Marina Rodriguez versus Xiaonan Nian should not be on the prelims.
1,000,000%. I'm actually just going to check something, because there is no way that fight is not headlining at least the prelims.
Mate, it's ridiculous.
Surely that is headlining the prelims.
At least, but it should be on the main card, mate.
Of course it should, mate. This will be a sensational fight.
Never mind the fact that they're ranked higher and it's not
headlining the fucking main prelims. That's fucking mental.
Ridiculous, mate. It's two of the top strawweights in the world, right? Two of the top strawweights in the world.
It's a number one contenders fight. Any other division in the world, the number one. RDA, all right, is a superstar, right? RDA versus Fiziev is not a number one contenders fight in the lightweight division.
No,
this is a number one contenders fight in the fucking flyweight division to go and find out who fights Nama Yunus, basically.
It should be ahead of all of those four fights. It should be before Kobe Masvidal. I'm sorry, I don't care. Okay, maybe RDA. I wouldn't argue with RDA because he's a legend and all. He's maybe deserved his co-main spot. That's fine. But it should 100%. I mean, the fact that Greg Hardy Spivak is ahead of it is disgusting. Barboza Mitchell, I'm not even happy with that. Mitchell's 14-0. Okay, you could maybe big him up, bit of hype. You know, he's a bit of a prospect. Fine. But that fight, and Kevin Holland, Alex Oliveira.
I think get Spivak harder to fuck. Get Marina Rodriguez, Jalnan on that main card. I think Kevin Holland opening that card would be fucking sensational, because he's a name. He's a highlight. He's got stuff about him, Kevin Holland, and that would be sensational. I think the fight against Cowboy would be absolutely fucking brilliant, to be fair.
I totally agree.
Brilliant fight.
Have that open the card, then have Rodriguez.
Or even Barboza Mitchell, then just put that one by in the middle somewhere. There's definitely, I think it's ridiculous. And disgusting's not the right word, because I don't mean that, but I just think I feel like they've been put to the side a wee bit and just go, oh, we need to make that fight, so we'll just stick it on there and we'll bang it on the prelims instead of going and gain it the hype that it deserves, because that could be the female fight of the year as such. That could be a sensation.
Oh, mate, That could be that. Honestly, that could be an amazing fight, and it's such a shame. There's some things that just don't make sense in this card, right? Umar Nurmagomedov, right? Now, I know he's not ranked. I know he's not fought. He's 13-0, right? He's a bit of a prospect. Again, even Alexichuk, Ludovic Klein versus Devontae Smith, right? That's two guys, great records that should probably further up as well. It just doesn't make sense to me, but hey, listen, that is what it is. I don't really want to get into it too much, but it's just...
See, there's not a title fight on this card, it's a pay-per-view, blah, blah, blah. I'm actually, apart from maybe the odd fight here and there, and even then, that odd is very, very fucking rare, because it probably is one fight, and that's probably Spivak versus Hardy, is the only one I'm more really looking forward to.
Oh, mate, the card's class, by the way. I was looking at it when you were talking there. There's some class fights. I mean, the balls. The balls on Tim Elliott to fight somebody 13-1 when he's 17-12 himself. I mean, amazing. Klein, Devontae Smith, I've mentioned it. Brilliant fight. Big fucking Alexichuk. We love Alexichuk.
I like Big Jacoby, man. I think Jacoby's a very, very good fighter as well, mate. So that's fucking... He's like 6'10" or something, so...
And you know, we're talking about Rodriguez-Shaunan being a class fight. Marina Moroz-Agapova, mate. That's like one of these fights that people will probably overlook on this card. Generally, right? People, put your hands up if you're honest and say you probably looked at that. Potentially has fight of the night on it, by the way. I'm telling you, that's...
There's a bit of personal animosity there between the two as well. It's a bit of a grudge match. I can't remember the reasons for it, but...
I think Moroz does one of the fan pages things, and I think Agapova, I don't know, has something to do with it. I don't know.
They don't like each other, put it that way.
Really,
so that makes
really, really
it
don't.
More fun, man.
But I honestly think that's one. Remember when you used to do these cards that, yeah, so the fights that maybe would be a bit surprising? You used to pick one every week, remember? That's the kind of fight that you'd have picked. It would have been different class, mate. The cold card's good. I'm looking forward to it. Jalen Turner, Jamie Mullarkey, that's ridiculous, man.
That'll be fucking mental, mate, honestly. As I said, spoke with Kevin Holland already. I think that'll be fucking brilliant. I think Barboza Bicho, that is an MMA fight. In every single sense of the word, Barboza does one thing, Mitchell does another thing, and somehow you're going to put them in an octagon together and go, fight. Bryce Mitchell just wants to run at him and just fucking double leg him and get him on his arse, but Barboza just wants to boot you in the face 45 times.
I hope he twisters him again. I think that'd be fucking beautiful.
It's just a brilliant bit of matchmaking, that. It's just too brilliant. Guys, either kind of part of different mixed martial arts that are both absolutely superb. Mate, it's just, it's superb. And we've not even got into what should have been obviously the main event. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago?
Aye.
2.5 hours.
Aye, 2 weeks ago, I know. But that's just a class fight as well, to be fair. That could go either way. By the way, I'm not sure how that's going to go. I know Fiziev's loving him one, but we've not been impressed with him the last couple of times, and RDA is a legend and it's hard to put away, so that could actually go either way.
If you're Fiziev, right, and you go and beat RDA this weekend and you beat him convincingly,
yeah,
I'm not saying beating RDA gets you a title shot, but how fucking close is it put him? How close is Fiziev to a title shot if he beats RDA this weekend?
I think Fiziev's probably... You were talking about Dariush Makachev, and that is the 100% the fight to make, right? But then Fiziev's probably just outside that conversation, mate. Like, there's probably a next set of guys, and if Fiziev beats RDA, then he's in that. But it's just...
fucking tear of that.
Aye, it's just, who does he fight, though? Because as I said, everybody else is tied up. So it's going to be a case of waiting a while now. That's the thing. This is what always happens when you've got fighters all fighting each other. Yeah,
I think you're kind of looking. Let's be honest, there's three or four names in that lightweight division at this moment in time. If you look at the rankings, that in the nicest possible way, probably kind of need to fuck off and let the next generation through. McGregor, yeah. Ferguson, there's two straight away. Dan Hooker's obviously taking a step down to featherweight. Is he going to kick about there? There's three positions straight away. Even Dustin Poirier at this moment in time, he's a fucking sensational fighter, but is he actually going to fight for a title anytime soon after the Oliveira fight? Probably not. I don't imagine he's going to go for grudge match. He's going to go for fun fights as well.
Yeah.
These guys kind of get in the way of the Makachevs, the Dariushis, the Fiziyevs, the Saryukins, the Gamrots. They're the kind of guys that we're looking to fight for titles next.
Yeah.
So they kind of need to, in the nicest possible way, just get the fuck out of the rankings. Go and have a fun fucking rankings league fucking I know we ripped the shit out of the fucking, what is it, baddest motherfucker belt fucking thing, but there's three or four guys in this lightweight division that should be fucking involved in that and getting them to fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, my bad, I stuck you down there for a
moment. I know, that just went really dark, but no, it's a class card, all start to finish, mate. It's going to be brilliant, cannot wait. It's going to be on at an absolute shite time, but hey ho, it is what it is. 6 p.m. Eastern, oof, that's pish.
That's 11 o'clock here. That'll be the prelims, won't it? Pre-pre's.
Yeah. That'll be your prelims. Your pre-pre's will be 9 o'clock.
No, I'm not as early as that.
Pre-pre's?
Pre-pre's will be, I think the pre-pre's will be 11.
Think so?
Aye, kind of see, because that gives you 4 hours, because it'll be 3 o'clock before this main event starts, main card starts.
Yeah, but then there's, what, 1, 2 mini prelims? 8? Yeah, half an hour each? 4 hours? I don't know. Probably.
Possibly.
How about that? Anyway, right. Cool. Happy?
Over the moon, my man.
Superb. Right. Hit me a bit. Oh, wait.
It's time for the news.
That was not your best attempt at that, I've got to say.
No, but just try to get the feel for it, mate. It's still new, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just, right.
I like taking the piss because you're obviously pure stressed out about it.
Not at all, man. Yeah. The biggest news, probably, and it's not really news because we don't know for definite, obviously. Everybody knows in the world of the situation between Russia and Ukraine at this moment in time. Yeah. We're not going to get political in any way, shape, or form on this show, so we'll just stay away from it. But obviously, the UK government has basically banned all Russian national teams from competing within the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have UFC London, Volkov versus Aspinall as the main event. So it'll be interesting to see how this affects us. Obviously, Valuev fights Jack Shore as well. Obviously, Abdurakhimov versus Pavlovich on the card as well. So there's four fighters, four Russian athletes. It'll be interesting to see if they enter the country.
I think the UFC will already be making moves.
I think they probably will get into the country. I think it'll be interesting to see the reaction to these fighters. I think it's very harsh on the fighters as well, because I don't want to get political, but I don't imagine these are the kind of guys who go, ah, so let's go and fucking invade Ukraine. You know what I'm getting at? They're not going to be it'll be interesting to see how this affects the UFC London card in regards to, will Tom Aspinall actually be facing Alexander Volkov in the end?
Well, we'll see. We need to wait. We're not going to have anywhere known that until closer to the time. I know we're only 3 weeks out, but we're still going
to. It's 2 weeks on Friday, mate. It's no far, and we're off from our holiday bag to London. So, well, so we start. Right, we start. I go this one. Teixeira versus Pachkatska has been moved. It was scheduled for 274. Now we moved to 275.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe, because when I seen it, I Googled it. Couldn't see anything about it.
Teixeira literally said to an interviewer, it will be moved to June. They just said, that's literally it. So basically, the UFC event is going to 275. That's, by the sounds of things, why. I think they were probably struggling for a headliner for 275, because that's the start of June.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that's where it'll be. I can't remember what is the headline fight in 274.
Is it not Volkanovski? Oh, no, it's Gaethje Oliveira.
Oh, so it is. Aye. So.
273's Volkanovski, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's probably why we're probably looking for a title fight headline or pay-per-view at the start of June, and that's probably exactly why, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Where are we? What else have we got? Disappointed with this one. Jessica I was supposed to fight Manon Fiorio. It'd been really good to see Manon Fiorio against that kind of level of competition. Yeah. And Jessica is a pretty good fighter, so I'm really disappointed that one has fallen off this weekend. So that's disappointing.
Did I get moved?
Not that I'm aware of, no. It's just been basically cancelled. Shogun is back.
What?
He will fight OSP.
Oh, for fuck's sake. When?
UFC 274.
My God.
Oh, man. Fucking. Shogun's 5-2-1 over his last 8 appearances. It's not the fucking worst record in the world.
No, but it's just him. It's just. Okay.
He's 40, right? So post 38. Again, this goes back to this Legends League shape we should be having. Yeah. It's just every 3 months, just have a Legends night and just get all the Legends out and let them fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'd be up for that. Aye, so that's 274. And another fight I really like the sound of, Charles Jourdain versus Lando Venata. Thought that was a class little fight, mate. I really like the fucking sound of that. So that'll be April 23rd. Another fight, we flyweight number I like the look of, Brandon Royval versus Matt Schnell.
Yep, class.
Again, that's been added for UFC 274 as well, so that's the start of May. And I'm still on location for that, by the way, so it'll be interesting to see where they hold that one. But that's a decent wee fight. Where are we? I think that's the last one UFC. That's the last one UFC, my bad. I know the other one was, obviously we mentioned Paul Daly will be fighting in Bellator London. He will fight Andrei Koryshkov.
Yeah.
I imagine Paul Daly's about to take his ass handed to him, but it'll be interesting to see.
Who cares? That's a class fight, man.
Mate, it should be good fun, put it that way. It'll be a good fight and it'll be good for Bellator London. At least Bellator London's really looking fucking good, man. I'm waiting to look at it. I just wish we were able to fucking go, to be honest, but
I mean, the fact that we're going down to London on a Friday night and not going to Cage Warriors is shocking, so hey ho.
I know, there's reasons for that in there, so. I know the only other thing that I wanted to mention was, obviously, we were talking about Amosov earlier on, but by the sounds of things, and lots of things, he is staying in Ukraine at this moment in time. He is on the front line, like many guys are doing. Klitschko's are on the front line, obviously, they're present, all that kind of stuff. Fucking.
Who's the other one? The big Usyk.
Usyk's on the front line, he's got his gun. I seen a picture of him the other day. You've also got the wee Ukrainian boy.
Golovkin?
No, he's fucking Kazakhstani. Oh, pound for pound, arguably pound for pound best boxer.
Oh, Lomachenko.
I also see him, he's kind of bearing arms as such now, so he's joined
his. You would know.
Damn right. He's joined his local defence squadron, so look, good luck to these guys. Let's hope we see them in an octagon or a ring sometime soon, because they're incredible fighters and we don't want anything to happen to them. So anyway,
happy,
delighted, my man.
Right, thank you for that, Marky Boy. Right, that's us for this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening, as always. Get us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Inside Cage MMA. And I also, my weekly beg, if you listen on Spotify, please leave us a wee review. Takes 2 seconds. 5 stars would be great. If you don't feel it deserves 5, leave what you think. We would appreciate it either way. It would get us an average rating, which would be good, because then people can see it when they search for the podcast. Yes, so thank you. Have a good week, and we will catch you next time.